Greetings, superstars, and welcome back to another episode of Word Up with Danny Katz. Today I am joined once again by Mike Winner. Mike Winner is one of the founders of Chordal. He is one of the founders of Music in Sky. He is half of the AlphaCast podcast with Dr. Bear Lando. He is part of Alpha Vedic. He is doing so many things to help create the parallel societies, to help lift humanity off of their knees, to help us claim and stand in our own power. Before we dive in, I am reminding you to click that subscribe button, to like, to share, to comment, to tell all your friends to tune in. I'm also reminding you to sign up for my newsletter at dannykatz.com. to ensure that we stay in touch regardless of what sort of big tech ridiculousness is happening out there in clown world. I think that does it for housekeeping. I am inviting you to buckle up and prepare to enjoy my conversation with Mike Winner. Mike Winner, I'm so happy to have you back. This will be our second Word Up podcast, and this one was inspired because you had reached out to me and recommended a common law course, and I've been like kind of dancing around these waters for a while. Actually, wrong words. Okay, what are the right words? And then
you're the word maestro.
I know, and this is where I get so tripped up in this whole conversation. Okay, so what is the correct phraseology?
Well, we'll get into it more. I don't want to mess up your intro here, but let's just say it's law.
Okay, law.
That's it.
Law. I love this intro. I'm into messy action, so my audience knows everything's always going to be like a little bit wabi-sabi. So my first dabblings in the law were back in 2007. I took one of those courses at the old Manson family ranch in Chatsworth. It was a different time. None of this stuff was on the web. And my one of my experiences then, which was what I had communicated to you, which inspired this conversation, is it's freaking boring. And I don't want to waste my precious life force studying the language and the in and outs of a demonic system that I don't consent to anyway, just so I can learn how to not be entrapped by it. And then you offered a very short reframe of like, no, this is actually how we flip the script. And it made me see beyond just my own individual path and seeing it on like a larger system level where we the people could claim some power. Hence, we are here today having this conversation, and I am so excited to be educated by you on the law and why it is important for us to learn these things.
Beautiful. Beautiful, Danny. Yeah. And that was my exact take as well. It's so boring. It's a system set up by a bunch of oligarch ancient families to rule over us. Why do I want to play in their system? I'm free because I acknowledge my own sovereignty, blah, 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 blah. And what I came to realize in the last 5 to 6 years of actually, fortunately being mentored by like Dr. Bear Lando from Alpha Vedic, my partner in crime, if you will, crime against the legal, which we'll get in today, because we're basically criminals in the eyes of the legal state. With all of the stuff that he's been through for years, and then with my buddies like Alex Zach and Greg Paul from the Law for Mankind, Alec, myself, Kelly Brogan, Andrew Kaufman, a lot of people that became champions of, educating folks around the whole COVID debacle and about germ theory and stuff. We all kind of dove into this together in large part thanks to Greg Paul and the Law for Mankind, which we'll touch on today. Mm-hmm. And what was really striking about this was that I came to the realization that actually the law is the underlying foundation for all reality, and it is a highly spiritual endeavor that all of us are actually playing with every day and are within the bounds of these precepts, these universal principles. And even those cretins, those folks that want to be like the boys downstairs, as Bear calls them, that think they're in charge and want to be in charge, they actually have to play with these laws. They actually are being governed by these laws as well. What they've done is they've been able to, through ignorance and through sloth and all the vices of mankind, play into a system, create a system where they've manipulated us into forgetting about the law and giving away our power in exchange for some rights and privileges and some tasty goodies. And this is an ancient, situation that's been happening on this planet for a long, or in this plane, in this realm, whatever the hell you want to call it, for a very, very long time. And what's exciting to me is I feel like we are on the cusp of a massive awakening around this, and the understanding that we are not victims to some demonic system of control. It's that they have created that fictional construct, and that in fact they are scared to death that we're going to wake up to our power and realize that we can actually control this all. And when we come into true sovereignty, and I'll get into that word in a second, then we can actually decree and demand, and in honor and in peace, what our reality is supposed to be. So the law is actually a complete internal endeavor. It is something that comes from the inside out, and it is based on principles and precepts that are universal and infinite and actually go beyond the physical. And when I started to see it from this perspective and not just going into paperwork and process and a lot of the also there's a lot of confusion around like Freeman and straw man, and we can get into a bit about that today, and different processes for status corrections and all this. When we actually start to understand that, no, when you truly understand the law of who you are and what you are and what you want and what you decree, and actually knowing who you are and what you desire in life and how to master all that from the inside out, then your law is decreed upon your reality in a way where you probably aren't going to have to do much paperwork. You should never end up in court. And actually, most controversy will go out the window for you.
Okay, so you said law is the fundamental foundation of this reality. Are we talking about laws like gravity, like the law of polarity, like Hermetic principles? Or are you talking about law as refers to the legal system?
So I'm talking about laws in relationship to who, what it means to be I, what it means to be consciousness. So the laws of polarity, of the law of attraction, the Hermetic laws of correspondence, those are all laws that in ways are subservient, or a little bit, well, they're important laws for how the physical universe works. But we're talking about actually the universal precepts of morality and what it means to actually be a living being on this in this realm as consciousness. And these are universal, like I said, precepts that actually govern everything in terms of morality, in terms of our life force, and our, like, karma, if you will, and all of that. So that's what I mean by law, and that's why I when you said common law, we really want to make sure we understand the language we're using, because common law has a specific definition and jurisdiction and framework around it. And same with things like even natural law, things like ecclesiastical law and commercial law, maritime law, merchant law. Those are all qualifiers. When we put something in front of a noun like that, what we're doing is we're qualifying and limiting it, and oftentimes putting it back into fiction. So really what we're talking about is the creator's decreed law of the reality. And so you can call that God's law. You can call that, for me, I just call that, divine source, the source code, if you will. And then under all that, yeah, are those hermetic principles and everything, those laws of nature that do fit within all that. But we're literally talking about like sort of moral law and like how to live in the appropriate way to advance off the wheel of reincarnation is sort of how I see it.
Okay, so let's stay with this, and I know we're gonna go to some different places, but it seems like law has been inverted, distorted in this reality in terms of how it compares to God's law, right? Like morality is certainly not ruling our current justice system.
Correct, because that's the legal system. So maybe we should do a little history to start. And it's tough because with, and I know you've done a lot of shows on this and stuff, when we start to see that most of history is a lie,
Right.
so we have to sort of look at things always questioning, and that's going to be an important element of sort of process and procedure, not procedure, but just a methodology moving forward is asking questions. In fact, that's going to be a big part of today is only asking questions, not making claims, unless there's a specific time and place for a claim. But that being said, when you look at just, let's say we look at sort of the conventional historics of man, we see that for time immemorial, we have been ruled by some sort of class of ruling, right? Whether that be initiated by the tribal leaders that then went into as so as culture grows, as we get technologies that allow us to feed ourselves easier and like money, then we have civilization that sprouts up. And with civilization, we have leadership that usually comes from the at first with like a king, and then that develops into typically some sort of oligarchy. And then out of that, you usually have the traders, those folks who are doing most of the commerce, then sort of take over. And that becomes more of like what we'll talk about mercantilism and sort of democracy. And then that all ends up collapsing back into despotism. And then that falls apart into collapse where we go back to tribes and we do it all over again. And what we see with that is there's always those in charge and those that aren't. And those in charge typically take the power through some sort of governance. And in doing so, they demean God's law and create their own laws. And this has been the crux of trying to figure out how we can have a golden age, right? Is like, how do we get around that? And that's how we're going to end today, the solution for how we have a golden age. But that being said, you're right. Those in power always supplant and demean and twist God's law. And they've done this traditionally. And actually, there are some beliefs, and I do agree that there have been some times where we've had a divine kingship that has ruled according to law. You of course, you hear in the Bible of Solomon, right? King Solomon and these like great wise leaders who understand that it's all on them to govern. And it's funny what we have nowadays. We have courts. Well, where do courts come from? Courts come from literally the court of the king, and that hasn't changed. So when you go to court, we're still dealing with that same sort of structure, whether it be the queen's court or the merchant court, which we can talk about briefly about where the U.S. courts have gone into the commercial law. But that being said, we've had in the past, we have had kings that have ruled by divine sort of jurisprudence and have followed the law as best as they can. We've actually gotten away from that when we get into democracy, and when we get into the more watered, sort of like the more that we have oligarchies and despotism through the rule of many, we lose law because we lose self-governance. And so really law is about self-governance. Law is about really we are our own court. And there's only one sovereign. There is only one sovereign. It's not the king, it's not a judge. The sovereign is the creator. That is the only sovereign. So when we talk about sovereignty, what we're doing is we're talking about upholding the creator's sovereign law through our own self-governance. And that takes a lot of responsibility. It takes a lot of honesty. And it also takes sacrifice in ways because, so to go back to the historics of this, the reason why we've had a, you know, civilization sprout the way it has is because humans have opted to give up sovereignty in exchange for privileges, rights, and different services. So and this is the crux of the matter. It's like to be sovereign in the way that it's been often positioned in our reality is where we have to do take care of all of our own decisions ourselves and not opt in and contract in with those ruling powers to get in exchange safety, security, paved roads, public schooling, all of these things. Now, what's exciting now is as we're waking up to how all this works, is people are realizing that actually all of those offers are just offers. And they were offers from the very beginning. And it was in a way the general humankind's weakness to understand this, and also all the deception, of course, of these ruling elites to hide and occult this stuff. But when we understand that those are just all offers in the fiction that they've created in the public, that we have a solution, which is self-governance in the private, and working, we can still work together using things like trusts, private trusts, and all this to actually decree our own law individually, but still work together and create beautiful systems. And that's where we're moving to. But so that's sort of the history of it. Yes, there have been dark forces that have occulted the true laws, the creator's laws, and this does once again relate to how reality works, relate to how we manifest and how we create our own reality by understanding our own law, by living in honor. And you know, Jesus, whether you believe he was a real dude or not, or the son of God, those parables in the Bible are explicitly there as to de-occult a lot of these precepts around law. And for instance, one of the things that the Nazarene, as I call him, that he does is he just asks questions in the face of great power. He asks questions. He doesn't make claims. He doesn't cause controversy. The controversy is always caused by those who are triggered by him and that are doing basically trespassing against him, which is sin. So there the Bible in itself is a law book. I know that's a whole other rabbit hole we can go down. And when going back through the history, as the church took over from the kings, we went from sort of civic Roman law, as the Roman Empire needed to have to control its empire, to then ecclesiastic law, where the church took over and the church became the bank. And then that transferred to common law. And the common law is based on judicial rulings from like the kings of England and the royal courts. And then that moved into merchant law as mercantilism took on, and we had like the East India Company, and then that was a power shift, right? So you had these companies and sort of the new banking elites that took the power from the royalty, and they still kind of work together. And then from that, we had commercial law, which is what we're now pretty much under in the public space. So that's sort of the history of the different forms of law. But the most occulted thing in which we'll really get down to and what the law for mankind shows and displays that no matter what they try to call the law, and no matter how they try to trick us in the fiction to go along with those legal systems, the superseding law of the creator still holds weight. And when you know how to stand your ground, stand in your square, ask the right questions, and to hold your ground in a way that is in honor with God's law, you can still protect yourself against anyone trespassing against you, and you can navigate this world in complete honor and peace.
And have you had experiences that reflect this?
So, luckily, I'm glad you asked that. So, what is the law for mankind? So it's called The Sovereign's Way. It's a fantastic course they released around COVID time in 2020, and I took the course. And I've had like legal issues in the past, and I've used lawyers for and done like cease and desist and stuff like that. And it's always a big pain in the ass, and it costs money. So I was interested to, this was during when COVID was raging, and I was like, I want to know this stuff. So if someone tries to challenge me on wearing a mask, or God forbids it get to the point where they're trying to push mandatory vaccinations door to door and all these things, I was like, I need to know this stuff. So I took the course, and the most powerful resonant thing I got out of it, and which I was not expecting, I was expecting to learn processes and like paperwork stuff, right? Like, and you do learn that. You learn how to write notices and to press claims in this process. And I'll go over sort of why this is important in a second, and why I recommended this to you. And also what I love about this course is it's really easy to understand. They've made it very easy to digest. And they speak in ways that you can, what I love about the process is John Little, who's the other cat that does it, who has got decades of experience, he's like, you speak in literally caveman speak. In the end, when you understand law, you simplify the language to such a point that you get to the bare bones essence of law. And I love that. But what I found is that what Greg is his role in this, Greg Paul, and he has actually offered to talk to you, and maybe he'd even come. He doesn't really do public podcasts, but if you are interested in having a private one-on-one with him, he told me yesterday he's open to that.
Thank you.
And so he and these sessions goes into your own personal law, and it comes down to like cleaning up your life and cleaning up all the BS around what is triggering you and what's holding you back from really expressing your true self. And this has to do with traumas from childhood and things that have gotten in the way of really stopping you from expressing yourself and getting out of fear. And I was like, whoa. And there's like all this process you do that's like cool. It's like sort of like an intense journaling process where you uncover all this stuff, and you get through all these blockages that I was not expecting to know. And the whole point of that was that what I found in doing these equity courses I'm doing now, is that when you in your deep down insides know that you are expressing law through your proper behavior and moral aptitude and the way you live your life and the way that you interact with your loved ones and your neighbors and how you treat yourself, most especially in honor and in truth and in vibrating in these harmonics around what law really is, which is keeping out of controversy, whether within your own self, which takes some work, and really being honest with, have you been honest with yourself, and breaking down all of those situations in your entire history of your life, which has led up to who you are now. And then once you get and done that work, which is takes a lot of time and effort, way more than like figuring out how to write notices or figuring out correct status corrections and stuff, you are then embodying that in a way where you don't invite the controversy in your life to even need to use the remedy. You're vibrating in a way of so much self-confidence, but sort of like a samurai warrior, right? Samurai warrior has done the training to know how to navigate reality where there's no fear of evil because you know how to dispense with evil, to the point where you never really need to pull that sword out, right? So Yojimbo walks through the towns of the Kurosawa film, and people go, "Whoa, that guy's got something. Like, I don't want to mess with him." That's the power you get when you understand law.
I've almost finished the second module of the course, and
Oh, so you've gotten into module two that gets into
yes, I've
that.
gotten into it. I did my first homework of listing my dependencies and influences, and it was interesting because I am at the same time in the process of transmuting some avoidant attachment patterns and noticing the through line of just like avoiding all of it because I don't want to deal. So I'm seeing that and I'm seeing the value. And there is at this stage, because I'm not into the, processes or whatnot in the course, but I'm seeing a lot of crossover between what I teach in terms of taking responsibility, sourcing our authority from within. And I learned this during COVID and the lockdowns, where I learned like, oh, people are, most people are order followers and like to be told what to do. So I can just slip in and tell them what to do, which is like, I would call a store and be like, hey, I'm gonna be coming in. I'm not gonna be wearing a mask. I'm gonna need you to tell your employees to not hassle me. And it was like, just learning how to slip through the cracks because of how I was holding my own inner authority.
Boom. You got it. Yeah. And it's such a powerful inner game when you are resonating in with your authority, which is the sovereignty, right? The idea of the sovereignty is that you are literally abiding by the sovereign's authority that he's given us to be sort of the caretakers of the realm and to be caretakers of the moral standards of righteousness and adhering to your inner conscience, right? Mm-hmm. Which is your inner law. And in doing that, that is what the Nazarene talked about, heaven on earth. Mm-hmm. Like, and in doing that, we don't need government, right? Because we're, that is how we, so a lot of times, you have people like, well, like Alex Zek's been very vocal about it. And you've got a lot of like these voluntarist folks out there. We've had speak at Music and Sky and things, and I'm a huge advocate of it. But then what, like, so we've done a really good job of pointing out the problems with government, but then what's the solution? And the solution, I was going to kind of end on this, but there's a lot of ways to end this talk. So I'm just going to say it now. The idea is self-governance through understanding the law. And if we can have a society, or at least like start with really small, villages of those who understand this, then the governance is done through the law. And that governance is like literally mano a mano, man to man. Mm-hmm. Woo man to woo man, woo man to man. And because it's governed by our own understanding of honor and being an honor. And that's even to do with commerce too. And that's what I talked about in Australia. I was just out in Australia last month at the Living Free Festival. And that's literally what I was talking about, is a new form of money and currency based on honor. But you were going to say something.
Well, I'm wondering if, do you think that humanity is ready for this level of self-responsibility with where we are at right now?
Hell no. Right. Hell no. So if anything, mainstream humanity is the worst it's ever been to take on this responsibility. And that's been the genius of the technocrats. Like that's their whole agenda, is to take the average Joe Schmo away from this. And they're doing a great job. However, on the flip side, because of the polarities of the realm and of the reality, that you typically, when you go one way, you're going to have a backlash and the seesaw is going to go the other way. You have a very powerful minority that has the most knowledge about this and probably the history of our known history. Yep. So that is who goes to Music and Sky, who goes to Confluence, who listens to your podcast, who listens to AlphaCast. And so what we're working on is building new, there's different ideas of what we're calling it, but so new townships, new communities of people literally physically moving together to live in our own private towns that understand this and want to be examples of how we can go. And whether we have, I personally believe we are amidst collapse. We've been amidst collapse probably for 40 years. Collapse takes a long time. It's multi-generational. Mm-hmm. And so what we're doing is we're building the lifeboat right now for where the new society will go once the collapse sort of, finalizes, which could be another couple hundred years. And so we'll have multi-generations, hopefully by that time, 7 generations maybe even, that have already been going in this parallel system of in these societies a lot. And you do have historic precedents of this, like the Essenes. Right. If you are aware of the Essenes, they essentially were doing this and they've been occulted, like totally wiped out of history. It's, they're not even mentioned in the Bible. And they didn't use money. They had their own separate society. They had their own people that they would have in, like, when you'd go into, Jerusalem or wherever, where they would only do commerce with their own folks in those towns.
Yep.
And so they were able to live in a parallel way. And that's why they were definitely attacked and That's always going to be an issue, right? Is understanding how to deflect the system from trying to target you. But that being said, that is sort of what Where Music and Sky's shifting to. So we are shifting out of being an event company or an event organization, and we are moving into a community creation organization. So our goal is to get the land and develop a system where our community members can come on and own a parcel in a new sovereign community completely in the private. And to do that, you're going to have to go through some coursework. You're going to have to understand the law. You're going to have to understand what it means to be an honor. You're going to come in as the living man and woman, signing in on the private. We'll have land patents. We'll have all the stuff using equity to protect us. And we'll have our own money system, everything done in the private. And that is now our agenda moving forward. So to answer your question, though, no. Mainstream humanity is far, and I think they're going to collapse. I think many are going to suffer greatly, unfortunately.
So we're like, I know you're living on your own property. Like, are you paying property tax? Are you, and if you're kind of out of those things, how does zoning and planning deal with you? What's your relationship with the sheriff? Like, is there pushback if you
Sure.
are implementing these things in your day-to-day?
Yeah, so full disclosure, I am in the process of doing that, and we are with the Alpha Vedic Farm, where we have not gotten there yet. So that'll be the testing ground, and first will be the land patent. And we do have the private trust set up in the land trust, and that's an important piece. And then also getting your sovereign citizen, there's like a sovereign citizenship thing of that as well in the United States. You don't have that everywhere. United States is interesting because you have a you, we have a like a dual system that no other country has, where we have still have the original republic, and then we have the corporate overlay, which is the
Right.
United States Inc. But that being said, yes, so you can completely do that. And what's great is there's lots of different remedy to do that, and that's sort of where one, the law for mankind comes into place, because that gives you the power to stand on your ground and to counter any people with titles or uniforms trying to impress upon the fictional statutes and codes and laws that are in the fiction that are corporate. And then also equity is a huge thing that I've been doing. So equity is an entirely different route you can take, which relates to also the superseding law of the land, of God's law. And that idea is through discharge. And that takes in consideration that everything is commercial in nature in on their side of things. And it's really cool because it's all about just accepting and returning any offers. And so, like, if you have a specific officialdom sending you, for instance, tax bills, or anything that is trying to bill you, you just accept in return because they took money out of the system in 1933. And we can touch on that. That might be a good second episode, to be honest, because that's a huge rabbit hole. But with the law for mankind stuff, this has to do with anybody trying to trespass on your land and trying to take power from you as a living man. So you just do simple things like putting notices up. The land patent process is a powerful thing you can do. Now, I think probably Greg and John would say it's not, you don't need it. However, for me, it's also about just doing things to help strengthen our position. Might as well if it's there. So using things like private trusts and land patents is just a good strategy to help better protect from having to go through the rigmarole of like going into court and pressing claims. So, in the law for man, yeah.
Why would they say that you don't need land patents or land trusts?
Because in the end, if you are a living man on the land and you are able to basically through the facts, and what's interesting, so in equity, we don't argue the facts, but with their process, it's different in that if you are, and I can kind of explain the nuance here, because we use equity when we're dealing with any entity that is on the commercial sector that can access the, we're kind of getting into the woods, the weeds here, but can access what's called the Fed discount window. And that is how all money and how all basically value is created now in the entire world, by the way. And so, but if you're talking to like just like Joe Schmo, who's trying to be an enforcer of a specific local code, they're just performing a job for a corporation and are trying to enforce something on you that is essentially unlawful. It might be legal, but it's unlawful. So what we're doing through the process of like Law for Mankind is just standing our ground on the lawful side, which supersedes legality, and actually pressing claims on that individual, not on their title or station. And so it's an interesting way because that individual can't go access the Fed discount window, whereas like the like a corporation, like the city of something can, or you know, the Visa or a bank, et cetera, that's trying to, for instance, close on a mortgage or something. Like if you're supposedly defaulted a mortgage, there's ways to get around all that through the discharge process. But that being said, they're saying you don't need a land patent because all the land patent's doing is it's going back to the initial treaties of when the country was first founded with like whoever initiated who had the original ownership of the land. And you're just laying claim to that treaty as the new steward of the land. And what they're saying is, yeah, you can, that's a process you can do, but you could actually just you can claim stewardship of the land as a sovereign on the land. And unless somebody challenges that, if you go through this process of noticing, and then if anybody challenges you laying claims against them, then that should hold up because you're the man on the land. And that is the original what law is about. Law, actually, the sovereign's law is about man on his own land. That's what the whole like feudal system was about. That's it, you know, that's historically what law was designed for, and not common law, not merchant law, just law. So, but if you can get a land patent, it can save you a lot of headache and harm by just showing, hey, I've got this land patent. I have rights like to this already. I've laid my rights, my claim. Here it is. And typically an agency will then leave you alone. You won't have the benefits of the services. So to ask your question, like a fire company, like a fire department can't come on your land. Police, which are just a service, they're civics corporations. They're basically service agents for the corporate city of whatever. So they can't come on because their insurance won't cover them to come on because their insurance only covers them to work within the jurisdiction of the corporate jurisdiction that they're on. You can't have like your cable, your traditional utilities, and all that. So you are sovereign in the way that you're going to need to find your own power. You're going to need to find your own well water. You're going to need to find your own, you know, hire a contract with somebody if you do have a fire to come in, and you can, I believe you can contract with, you know, local fire agencies and stuff to come on your land or take care of yourself with your neighbors. So that is the exchange, right? Like we give up a lot of rights in exchange for benefits and services. That's what the citizenship is. That's what our birth certificate does. That's what the social security number does. All of that is basically an exchange to the corporate system to get things, right? And which includes the right to vote, right? The right to vote for our next slave owner.
Right, for the next puppet. Well, I understand that we're in the weeds, and I want to stay on this a minute for a couple reasons. So let's say I had a land trust, a land patent, whatever the correct
Yeah, land patent.
paperwork, land patent. And there's a fire, and I call the fire department. Are they going to go on to some database to see? You know, that's where I'm
No.
always curious is like, do these entities even know?
Typically, so it's how you notice. Once again, it's how you notice. So, what you have when you have a land patent, and some people might argue this, but essentially you have an alloidial title. So, you don't have a typical deed, a warranty deed, which is just a warranty that on your mortgage that has no real ownership. The ownership is the bank, right? It's just basically giving you a warranty that you get access to the land for a certain amount of time. That's typically what you get for most people that purchase homes. But if you actually go through the process of a land patent, you have what's called an alloidial title, which just means you have traced back to the original owner. And we've done a three-part series on this, by the way, for Alpha Vedic. So if you guys are interested in finding more about land patents with the G of all Gs, Ron Gibson, he's kind of like the grandfather of land patents. So we did a three-part series with him on our land patent series.
Will you
And
send me the links to those so I can include it in the show
yeah,
notes?
for
Awesome.
sure. And what's interesting is what you're doing is tracing back to the original title, and then you're taking on that title yourself. So you are the original landowner. And that gets tricky because that land was stolen from indigenous people, and that indigenous people stole that from the red-headed giants. I don't know, but we can like it,
Right.
it just keeps going. So it's like, for me, it's just about having certain, tools to help me not get messed with these people so that I can build beauty in the world, right? So this is a tool that has stopped eminent domain. And there's also cases where it didn't, because those who had the land patent didn't know the law. So they just thought, I have the land patent, I could just use that to stop eminent domain. No, you still have to know the law.
Right.
And so but it is a phenomenal tool in the tool belt to have. And yeah, so you have to notice. So, for instance, on the way out to Alpha Vedic Farm, you go through by the old McClendon Ranch, and you see these notices, alloidial land.
Oh.
And so they've noticed agencies that this is alloidial property and you cannot come on. So as a volunteer firefighter, I would see that and go, I don't know if I would even know, though, to be honest, not to go on it. I still probably we would if it's like a raging fire.
Right.
But technically, depending on how you notice, is if alloidial property, no party's allowed unless given, proper jurist, or what would it be? I don't know what that notice would be, but it's how you notice. And that is whether you have an alloidial title or not. You want to notice on your property, like private property. No parking allowed here, even like if you don't want someone parking in front of your house, things like that. If you don't notice people, then that is your duty in the law to do that. If you don't, then they can get away with, walking onto your land and doing things. So, yeah, so it just depends on how you notice. But yeah, I think in the long run, there's also a duty of care for those, and that comes down to equity and what is equitable, and equity actually supersedes anything like a land patent. And so if it's equitable for them in the end to save your property from burning down, even though, and I think you would want them to do that, then in the end they wouldn't be held liable, of course. They just saved your property from burning, and you in equity would even maybe reward them, whether that be a monetary thing or something. So yeah, that's why I do love equity. I'm taking an equity course right now, and it's really blowing my mind. And that's something we've done a podcast on recently. And the idea of equity is that those are actually the superlative laws that govern all, and that's just based on fairness and rightness and reason. And it's like principles that guide common law traditionally, and that guide even civic law. And it's in the private, so it's completely in the private. So you'll never hear of equity mentioned in a court case, but it is governing it. And so when you know how to access equity through the art of inquiry, you can stand on your square, and you can hold your ground in a way that is through sort of a aikido. It's all defense. And so when people come at you, like these agencies, you can accept, and basically it's called discharge. Any of these things coming at you, and it puts it back on them. Where the law for mankind is cool, it's if you're trespassed against by like some Joe Schmo, that isn't a large agency, that doesn't have access to the Fed discount window. So they're not in the commercial system per se, like these agencies or big corporations. Then you can deal with them man to man outside of their title and uniform.
That's so as I thought it was going to go down during COVID, but again, I think I was giving my fellow humans too much credit, where I was like, I would go to local businesses in town and be like, why don't you do a personal lawsuit against the mayor, a personal lawsuit against every member of the city council, go for their pocketbooks, you know, on a personal level to shut this down. I mean, no one took the bait and I don't really know what I'm talking about, but that's how I'm translating what you're saying, where instead of someone being having the protection of like, well, I'm representing the IRS, it's like, no, you're going after Joe Schmo, the man, for how he's messing with you. Is that accurate? Am I hearing you correctly?
Correct. So it wouldn't be a lawsuit because that's going into legal jurisdiction, into the fiction, right? So that's statutes, codes, and things that have been created by legislation.
Okay.
And then put within the law code. And so when you go into that, you lose your jurisdiction as the man or woman and the true power, and you go into your legal fiction as the citizen slave.
Got it.
And so that's why those who have done the lawsuits, and there were people that were doing that, like they were full on agencies of that were taking on Fauci and, you know, and all these big behemoth FDA and stuff, and they weren't getting very far, even though they had a lot of, like, RFK Jr. is a great example, and what was her name? McCusick. She was on the end of COVID. I'm blanking on her name right
Anna
now.
Anna Garner was doing a bunch of those lawsuits as well.
Yeah, and you're playing right into their hands.
Right, because you're stepping into their territory on their laws.
You're going into their domain, into their jurisdiction, playing with their money, into their commercial system, because all courts today in the United States, on face value, if you just go into them and don't know what you're doing, are commercial courts. They're banks. Courts are banks.
Okay.
And so if you don't know the proper process, you're just even, and if you have an attorney, that attorney that you've hired is to attorn you. What does that mean? You look in Black's Law Dictionary, that means their job is to take your property control. This goes back to feudalism, and manage it for the sovereign, for the king. So literally their job, an attorney, is to take all of your power away and everything, and to attorn you as essentially a feudal serf. And so anytime that the court assigns an attorney, a public defender, you just lost everything. You've lost all your rights. So in the process that I'm learning right now, I'm learning how to flip that, accept that, discharge it, and hold that attorney in honor as my own private. I basically am attorneying them to work for me as a private lawyer. And there's certain stipulations, and if they go against any of that, because everything is contract too. Like, we live in a realm of contract. Contract supersedes all, even in civic law and in legal system, it's all contract. Yep. And that's the other thing, this is how slippery they are. They get us by implied contract. So that's what the birth certificate is.
Yep.
So when you go in to sue somebody as a citizen, you are already under implied contract to agree to everything they're doing to you. So if you can actually be deemed as a insane person because, or as a child, one, you're seen as a child, as a minor, and two, you could be deemed to be an insane person because you've already agreed to all this stuff and now you're saying you didn't. So what is it? Are you schizophrenic? Are you crazy? So they've developed this system in a really underhanded, occulted way through implied contract, because we are the property of our parents, whether we like it or not, when we're born. And this is just makes sense. Like, people get triggered on this. So your children are not kids. Kids are baby goats.
Right.
They are your property, and they're your property because you took the responsibility to bring them into this reality. And if you get into the more metaphysics, you guys actually contracted together in another realm to have them come in, and in doing so, you contracted to be their steward, and they're your property until they become of sound mind to where they can understand their law and then hold their own space and be mature enough to then be an appropriate living man or woman in our society. And then, and know the law to be able to govern themselves. Until they can govern themselves, they are your responsibility and your property. So if you're stupid enough to sign them up as in with the birth certificate, which basically what that does is it creates an account for their life force to be used to indemnify the Federal Reserve System. That is what you're doing. And so you are now contracting them as a basically as a citizen through a straw man name so that they can then be used, and in exchange they get these rights and privileges, but which is also tied to the Social Security. That's why they added the Social Security, is to sweeten the deal. But in exchange, so you have just now taken your property and given it over to the state by doing that.
Do your children
And
have birth certificates?
my children do because I didn't know this shit.
Right.
So what's beautiful about equity is equity works in time. And so
Okay.
when you understand equity, you can go back and you can actually reverse all those contracts through what's called rescission. And what that means is repentance. And that's what the Nazarene taught us in the Bible. Like with the great parable of the what's it called? Son. The what am I blanking out on the prodigal son. The prodigal son, the parable of that, right? He goes off on this is literally telling you this. So it's his kid who decides, I'm not your property anymore. I'm gonna go off and do my own thing, and it completely fails, but he comes back and asks forgiveness, and then forgiveness is given to him over the son who was with him the whole time that was also contracted in the system. That whole thing is teaching us about law and how we can always, no matter how much we mess up, even a whole lifetime of messing up, if we come to a deep understanding that, oh, that was wrong, and I'm now want I want to come to peace and neutrality and go through the process to rescission all that and make good with everybody, I can repent and I can always come back to, I can always fix anything. There's always remedy no matter how deep I get.
That does it for the first half of my conversation about all things law with Mike Winner. As you are inspired to pick up the second half of this conversation, you can find that over on my Patreon and Locals sites. Those addresses are dannycats.locals.com and patreon.com/dannycats. On both of these communities, for as little as $5 a month, you get access to all of my second half conversations, plus oodles of bonus content, advance notice of courses, live events, new books, new webinars, special discounts, all the fun stuff. So join me on one or both of those platforms to access the second half of my conversation with Mike and all the other amazing visionaries that I get to interview on my show. I am also reminding you, well, cancel, clear, delete. I am inspired to put my Language of Sovereign Authority webinar on your radar because it folds in seamlessly and perfectly with the Law of Mankind work. When I first put out the course, I noticed some people were a little confused and thought that I was actually talking about law, sovereign law. I wasn't, I'm not, I don't yet have any expertise in those realms. The Language of Sovereign Authority is a 3-hour webinar I created to help us safeguard our agency, our inner authority, regardless of what sort of false matrix authorities may make claims on it. So it's a way to use language to attune ourselves to the frequencies of inner authority, of sovereign agency at all times, so that regardless of what is happening in the outside world, we are speaking and radiating a frequency of sovereign authority, which allows us to slip through cracks, create new pathways and wormholes through which we can operate unbothered, unperturbed, unmolested by the false authorities pushing the matrix construct. So you can find the Language of Sovereign Authority webinar on my website, dannycats.com, where I am once again inviting you to sign up for my newsletter. That does it. Thank you so much for sharing your sacred attention with me. Thank you for remembering that every word matters, that you are Omniscopic amazingness. I will see you over on the Locals and the Patreon for part two of this conversation. Have a rockin' day.